Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I remember the 70s vibe. Anybody remember Chicago? Yeah, good stuff. For those of you who don't, just Google it. It's good stuff. It really is. There was an elderly man driving in San Diego, wasn't paying attention to what he was doing, and ran into the back of the car in front of him. Unfortunately, the car he hit was the Ferrari. And the owner got out. He was angry. He's a big guy. He's angry. He got right up in the old man's face. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you just hit my Ferrari. It's going to cost you 10 grand. You better come up with it now. Old man said, I don't have 10 grand on me. He said, well, you better find someone that does. And the old man said, I'll tell you what, he said, let me call my son. He's a dolphin trainer. He'll know what to do. And the guy said, a dolphin trainer? He said, well, call him. So the old man, his hand was shaking, and he got his phone out. And as soon as he said, hello, son, the Ferrari owner grabbed the phone out of his hand and said, listen, dolphin trainer, your old man hit my car. And if you don't bring 10 grand here in the next few minutes, I'm going to beat him to a pulp and you to a pulp. And the voice on the other line was very calm, said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. So 10 minutes later, exactly 10 minutes later, a Jeep pulls up. A guy gets out of it. And in just a matter of minutes, he pulverizes the Ferrari owner, leaves him lying in a bloody heap right by his car. Then he gets his dad and son does and puts his dad in the car and makes sure his dad's okay. He said, Dad, for the last time, I don't train dolphins, I train SEALs, Navy SEALs. Say, Alan, that was a violent joke. I know it was. It's Father's Day, that's what we do. Thou shalt not tell foo-foo jokes on Father's Day. That's just... Father's Day is it's an interesting message for me, and it's going to be a little different for us today. It's an interesting message. It is a message where you want to honor fathers. You want to honor fathers for trying, for doing a good job. The role of a father is a God-designed role. It's God who designed the family. And it's a God-designed role. And the thing about fatherhood is it carries a lot of weight. It seems like the impact of fatherhood is big and the margin for error is small. It can be a tough job to win at. Years ago, anybody remember the movie Taken with Liam Neeson? The movie, this was the only movie that I ever saw my wife Joy enjoy a violent movie. The premise was that some people had kidnapped a teenage daughter and were going to use her in the sex trade. They were selling her, and Liam Neeson goes after the kidnappers. Remember, I have a particular set of skills. It was that movie. And so he is hurting bad guys left and right, and Joy is actually enjoying that. Which I was enjoying the fact that finally I could watch a violent movie with her enjoying it. And so she was, man, because he was getting the bad guys and he rescued his daughter and he killed all the bad guys. It was great. It was great. Violent but great. And at the end of the movie, my daughter, she was in her 20s at that time, she looked over at me, she said, I wish I had a dad like that. I said, really? Because if you did, your current boyfriend would be walking with a limp right now. That's how that would work. It's a no win. It's hard to win at this job. And so you want to honor fathers, but you also want to recognize that for many people, their experience of fatherhood is not good. Is that they've had either a father who was absent or abusive or disconnected. And the idea of fatherhood for many, and many in here today, is painful. And then you compound that with the idea that as a father, it's easy to look back and recognize missed opportunities. Now, I can just tell you today, I do not consider myself to be a great father. There were too much anger, too much harsh words, and a lot of things I wish I could have done differently. And so for many fathers, they look at what they missed, and that makes it tough. So what do you do with a message like that? How do you handle a message like that? Well, if you are a father and you're still breathing, then you still have a chance to make it better. And even if your children are gone and maybe you're estranged from them, you can pray for them. You can make it better. And I'm going to talk about some things in here today that will help. If your children are still under your roof, you still have an opportunity to make it better. If you are someone who's experiencing pain in fatherhood, I hope today that you hear God's father heart for you. Because God's father heart for you is actually a stronger love than any earthly father could bring. And there's one more thing, and this is a challenge. Before Jesus started his ministry, one of his relatives, a cousin actually, named John the Baptist, went before him and prepared the way for him. And with John the Baptist, an angel appeared to Zacharias, his father, and told him what John's ministry would be. Just see what happened here. He said, he, John the Baptist, will also go before him, Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The nation of Israel hadn't seen any kind of, we would call it a revival or a move of God, hadn't seen one in 400 years. And when John the Baptist came, he would start a movement that would prepare the way. And you see people returning to God's wisdom, and you see people being prepared for the Lord, but you also see the hearts of the fathers turning toward the children. And when God is moving, fathers' hearts turn towards their children. But here's another thing, and this is what I want to challenge you with. There's some of you here who are men that you chose not to have children, or you don't have children any longer, or maybe you're not even old enough, you're not married, you don't have kids. But you can still represent a father's heart to the children here in the church, to our children and our youth. Just a few weeks ago, I wrote letters of congratulations and thanks to two men in our church. One of them is Andy Stout. Is Andy here? Andy is an Okie that fortunately was able to move to Texas, and that helped him so much. He's old as dirt and tough as a boot. Yeah, I said that, Andy. I hope you recorded it. Andy gives me a hard time, but Andy, for 20 years, has brought his tough, gruff, rough father's heart into our elementary 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders every Sunday for 20 years. And his heart for them is huge. He was a college quarterback. He's a referee. He's a man's man. And he brings that heart for your 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. I wrote another letter to Mike Alcorn. Is Mike here? Mike, if you're here, wave at me, if anybody sees him. Where is he? There. I wrote Mike a letter too. Mike, before he ever was a father, served in the same age group, 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. And has brought a father's heart. Now, he and Andy are kind of opposites. Mike is a smooth-talking executive VP of sales for a company, but he still is bringing that heart in. Listen, guys, let me talk to you. You may not have kids, but you can bring a male influence and a father's heart into a fatherless generation. There's a lot of kids out there, and you can help. And if you're a single mom, raising kids without a father around, I would bring them here because there's some great men here that can show them what a godly man looks like and a godly man's role. And I think it's something that in these last days, guys, we need strong churches with strong families and strong examples for the growing up kids. And so I'm challenging you. Some of you guys are great with kids, and you are great with youth, and you'd be wonderful. Sir, that's a wonderful way to serve God. But let me give you a story from the Bible that many of you know of, or at least know about. It's a story of the prodigal son. I like what my translation said, is the story of the lost son. Jesus is responding to the Pharisees who are upset with him because he would eat with tax collectors and sinners. And so they are upset, and he gives them the parable of a man who loses a sheep and finds the sheep, of a woman who loses a coin and finds a coin. And then he goes into the man who lost a son. But inside of this story is a wonderful picture of what the ideal father is, because the ideal father is our Father God. So we get a picture here. So let's read this. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Jesus also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. He actually distributed it to both boys, not just the younger. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he'd spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. In this story, we see the ideal father who created a great environment. The environment that was created for this son was, the son had the ability to ask big. Asking for your inheritance before the father died was an absolute affront to the Jewish mindset. And yet the father divided his assets up among his children. He was able to ask big. He was able to leave. He was able to return. That the father had created an environment for his son that was generous and was fair. So he created a wonderful environment. He gave the son freedom. Freedom to leave. Freedom to make mistakes. And he did not rescue him. He was old enough to leave, and so the father didn't go into the pig pen and say, please come back. Let me do an intervention here. Let me get you out of the pig pen. He allowed the son the freedom to make his own mistakes and then come to his own decisions and come to his senses and come back. And I can tell you, as a parent, that's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do, is watch them do that. But a beautiful thing about this father is he never stopped loving this son. Said that when he saw his son, he was looking for and saw him afar off, which meant the father was looking. You can just imagine this dad going out, maybe standing on the porch every day and looking down the road just to see if maybe the son would return. Listen, if you don't care, you're not looking. If you've written him off, you're not looking for him. But when he saw him, I love this, he ran. He had compassion on him and ran. My pastor, John Osteen, said, it's the only time in the Bible you ever see God run. And he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. He never stopped loving the son. And then you see the fact that the father celebrated the restoration of the relationship, not the failure. He wasn't celebrating the fact that the son lost all the money. He was celebrating the fact that the boy had more value in who he was than what he had done. And so he allowed the son to come back. He allowed the son, now catch this, he allowed the son to apologize. And when that boy apologized, it was a genuine apology. The son said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Here's what he didn't say. You know what? If you'd spent more time with me, then maybe I wouldn't have left and gone down there and eaten in the pig pen. But no, you didn't have time for me. You never had time for me. It is your fault. He did not blame the father. And the father did not take the blame for their son's mistake. That the young man was old enough to make his own decisions. But he restored him as a son. Didn't make him a servant. He restored him as a son and celebrated that restored relationship. In this picture, we see a picture of God and we see a father's heart. And so you say, well, that's the ideal father. Alan, I'm not the ideal father. Neither am I. But we got to shoot for something. I'd rather shoot high and miss it than shoot low and hit it. And so here's some principles that we can begin to take in. And I'm going to go to my notes on this one because I just had a lot on my heart and I wanted to make sure I didn't miss it all. The first one is that we create a great environment. What's a great environment? Great environment in your home, for those of you who still have children under your roof, is it's more faith-oriented than it is fear-motivated. I think sometimes, especially as a dad, you're concerned that your kids won't have what it takes to make it. I know my dad was. He grew up hard. His mom was a single mom. We're talking Georgia in the 30s and 40s, and that was kind of rare. He grew up hard. He was put in an orphanage for a while because his mother couldn't afford him. Then brought out, but he sent himself through college. He had a successful business. He grew up hard, and one of his biggest concerns in life is that I wouldn't make it. And so that's a fear motivation, as opposed to a faith motivation. And when there's a faith motivation, your kids are willing to ask. I hated to ask my dad for money. I really did. I mean, he would look at me and I would hear a story about how he had to work at 9 years old pushing an ice cream cart around Noonan, Georgia, and how, you know, I just hated to ask for money. You say, well, okay, Alan, what's the big deal about that? Because what happens, guys, with fatherhood is we often take what our fathers show us and project that onto God. And then we make it hard it was hard for me for years to ask God for anything. But when you create a great environment that's a faith environment, they're not afraid to ask, they're not afraid to try, they're not afraid to fail. And it's an environment where even correction can be done in love. I liked what Joel Neese said. Joel, one of the men on the ice chest, who said, I'd rather they learn the hard things from me than from an indifferent world that doesn't care. But the correction can be done in love. Look what Colossians writes to fathers. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. That was written directly, not to moms, to fathers. Because a lot of times with fathers, we tend to be hard, or to get hard on them, to exasperate them. And something that will help, this is one thing I actually did right, is I would apologize. People think, oh man, if I apologize, I will ruin the relationship. Let me tell you something. Apologies are not relationship killers. They're relationship bridge builders. And you build bridges to your relationships with an apology. Joy will tell me. She said, you were impossible to live with, but you would apologize. It's not very comforting to hear. But what she was saying was this. She said, I knew if you were apologized, then there was a willingness there to change. And when a father can look to his kids and go, I'm sorry, I missed it, I apologize, I spoke this way, I did that. What that does is that helps build the relationships and it helps them apologize later in life. And it helps them be able to go to God and go, God, I am sorry, I missed it, would you forgive me? So when there's apologies and forgiveness, that's a wonderful environment. You can create a great environment as a father. The next one is that freedom is progressive. Teaching them to make choices. As they age and mature, the freedom gets greater. Someone described it one time to me this way, and it made a lot of sense. He said, when you're a parent or a father, he said, you're raising kids is like putting your hand on a spring. He said, the objective is to gradually let the pressure off so that when they're on their own, they stand firm. So if you keep the pressure on all the time, controlling, never let them make decisions, then when they're out from under your roof, boing, there they go. Or if you never put any discipline, any pressure there, they're unstable. So there should be the ability to help and correct, but freedom. And then the freedom to make choices. And here's the thing that you'll find, guys, that when they're in your house, under your roof, you have the voice of authority. When they leave your home, your voice is no longer the voice of authority. It's the voice of counsel. See, a lot of times what happens in families is they think that, okay, you're my kid. I can continue to tell you what to do. But when they leave your home, they're out from under your roof. And then now your voice is counsel. You say, well, my kids won't listen to me. What can I do? You can pray. Well, they still won't listen. Keep praying. Well, they still won't listen. Keep praying. But when they ask, offer them your counsel. When Matt came back from Africa one time, he'd married Kelly. They'd come back and we were dogging him about some things and we were on him. And then the Lord had to catch me on this. I was like, wait a minute. He's not under my roof anymore. And so for years, we don't give, there's no authority there with our kids. Now, Matt and Michael work for me. So that changes things. And sometimes I put the pastor hat on, and you get to wear the employee hat, and I get to tell you to cut your hair. But when you come to my house, and we're all sitting around on a Sunday afternoon, there is no, I'm telling you what to do. Freedom. You know, God gives us freedom. Freedom to make choices. And then freedom to live with the consequences. You say, yeah, those consequences is what's hurting. Well, thank God for his mercy. And thank God you can ask him for that. Here's the third one. Love is never withheld. The cry of children from the beginning of time, from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, is what you see here from Esau. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. The cry of children for generations is, bless me. God, Father, will you bless me? Say, what's a blessing? A blessing is an expression of your love and your approval of them. Joy's father, stepfather, came into her life when she was 7. She talked about him today. And he was a wonderful man, but he was dying of cancer. Joy led him to the Lord like 3 weeks before he died of cancer. And he was sitting there right before he left, and he looked at Joy and he said, you did a good job. You have good kids. And Joy said, I do. He said, you do. He said, I'm leaving. He's dying. He said, you need to stay and fight. Joy was sick. And he looked at her and said, you were an absolute pleasure to raise. That's a blessing. In Jewish families right now, the very traditional Jewish families, they celebrate the Shabbat. It starts on Friday night and goes through Saturday night. And Jewish families still do this, where the father will actually lay hands on the children and bless them. So I don't know how to bless them. If you put up something, you hear me say this, this is what you can say to your kids. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Do you realize what that would do for your children? It would bless them. It would make such a difference. And so blessing is powerful. Expressions of love make it easier for them to relate to God's love, especially from the Father. If you express love to them, it makes it easier for them to connect with God's love. And here's the deal, guys. Have compassion when they miss it. A number of years ago, I got a call from Joy. She said, I just want to let you know that one of your children came home drunk. And it's not the one you're thinking of. Matt was here the first service. I'm like, you're welcome. One of my children came home drunk, and Zora let me know that ahead of time. And I walked in. Not only had they been drunk, they had gotten sick and thrown up. And when I walked in, I mean, I'm a pastor. You're a pastor. You're the pastor's child. And all I remember doing was going, oh. And I felt such compassion for them. I didn't yell at them and I didn't chide them. I just listened and prayed. And to this day, that child will tell you that that means more to them than almost anything I've ever done. You know, they remember when we mess up, but they also remember when we extend compassion and mercy. Last one is this, creating that ideal environment, ideal father. Put that up. The person is celebrated above their performance. Now, this is something for dads because we can be very performance-oriented. But their value as a person is worth more than simply what they do. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that, Alan. Well, aren't you glad God did that for us? In Romans, it said, God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that when we weren't stellar, that we weren't awesome, when we weren't making straight A's, when we were sinners, God said, I love you enough, you are valuable enough, I will die for you while you are still a sinner. That is called unconditional love. That is valuing us as a person, not what we were doing. And that's God's heart for us. And that's the heart that we can share with our kids. And so we got to love them when they're not making A's. And we have to be able to call them up. We can challenge them. We can call them up without putting them down. You know, there's a difference between going, I can't believe it. You're such a weakling. Why don't you do that? And look at them and going, I believe there's strength in you. I believe you can do a lot of things. And I believe God will help you. And that calls them up. Jim Davidson was a man who wrote a book about his experiences. Jim and his friend Mike Price were hiking in Mount Rainier, and they were crossing an ice bridge and it collapsed, and they fell 80 feet into an ice crevasse. And when Jim came to, his friend Mike was lying beside him dead. And Jim Davidson was looking straight up at an 80-foot sheer wall of ice. And he did not have the skills in ice climbing. He was only a hiker. He did not have the skills as an ice climber. But Jim Davidson said, standing on that 2-foot ledge and looking up, he said, I kept hearing my father's voice. Jim's father had expressed an unusual confidence in Jim all the days of his life. He had told Jim that if Jim would simply push through adversity, there was nothing he couldn't accomplish. Jim's mother was terrified because Jim's father owned a business where they painted water towers and very steep roofs. And at 12 years old, he had Jim way up in the air, and it horrified his mother. But his father kept expressing confidence that Jim can do it. And when Jim was looking up at that 80-foot wall of ice, he said, I kept hearing my father's words, my father's voice of encouragement. He said, and so 5 hours later, 5 grueling hours later, Jim Davidson crawled out of that 80-foot wall ice crevasse and was able to write a book about it. He said, because he heard his father's voice. Man, it would be wonderful to have fathers who just put confidence and faith in their children so that the father's voice that they would hear is powerful. But maybe you've never heard that. Maybe the voice, when you hear your father's voice, it's harsh or it's critical. But there's another father and there's another voice. Your Father God has a voice. And his voice in scriptures talk about who you are and what your potential is and how much you're loved. The whispers of the Holy Spirit are never demeaning and never putting you down. They're affirming God's love for you. And the Father's voice to you is filled with faith and compassion. The Father's voice to you will give you the freedom to make choices. The Father's voice to you, he will never withdraw his love. And the Father's voice to you is that he values you more than your performance. This morning, we so need to hear a Father's voice, our Heavenly Father's voice. Just the other day, I prayed with a little girl. She came up. She was crying. She was just, she said, I haven't seen my dad in 4 months, and my dad called me and told me he didn't love me. And I thought, oh, there's too many like that, guys. There's too many like that. But I prayed for her, and I prayed not that her dad would straighten up, but that she would understand there's a God who loves her. There's a God who has a future for her. There's a God who has a hope for her, and that this is what we need. This is what the church does in these days, is it tells broken people and hurting people that there's a God who will love you and help you and strengthen you and make a difference in your life regardless of what your background is. So we have that available. We have a different voice. A Father who loves us. For you dads out there who are continuing and trying to do your best, keep it up. You will not regret a moment of it when you stand before the Lord in heaven of what you did here on earth for him and what you did for your family in his name. For those of you who are having a difficult time today, and you're thinking, man, Alan, you don't know, and my father, he was horrible, and my father did this, or my father just wasn't there. Let me just encourage you to do one thing, if I could, and it's going to sound challenging, but whether your father even is alive or not, forgive him. Not for him, for you. Forgive him. Let it go. It'll do you a world of good. And remember, you got someone that loves you even more. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me pray for you. And I want to pray for if you would just stay with me just for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray for those fathers who are here today, those who are watching online, those who are endeavoring to be good fathers. And Lord, I ask you to strengthen them, to encourage them. Father, we believe in them. You believe in them. Thank you for what they're doing. Keep them strong. Keep them on the right path. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise for what you do in their lives. For those who are hurting today because fatherhood has been rough, I pray that a light of hope and peace and comfort will come into their life when they realize how much you love them and what you're all about. And I thank you for that. And then the last group I pray for, Father, is those who are away from you or have never received you, that they can make that decision that will absolutely change their life, their eternity, and their family. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came here this morning and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do, or I did it one time, but not anymore, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Purpose is never to embarrass. The purpose is to give you a chance to connect. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I am going to ask you one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, you know what? I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be sure. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Obviously, I can't see if you're online. But if you're online, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray here out loud as a church family. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray it. Pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But here, we're going to join you in praying this prayer. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, we rejoice with those who've come to you and those who've come back. We thank you for the future they have. We thank you for your love for them. We thank you for your plan for them. We thank you, Father. We surround them with our faith and love as a church. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.